Our second scripture reading today is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Listen now for the word of God. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, this is the first of a series of sermons on the soul. The soul is a mysterious thing that I will be exploring over the next 2 weeks. Some say your soul is your moral compass, giving you an instinct for what is right and wrong. So what is the soul, and how does one search your soul? The quote on the bulletin cover, I don't know if you noticed it, is from the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius, is his name. He was born in 121 AD, after the death of Jesus. And this quote came from his journal writing called Meditations. Who they said, I was reading about this book, that they usually did not expect it to get published. He wrote it just as a personal private journal, but someone found it and published it. And even though he was not a Christian, he believed in God and in Stoic philosophy. He said, "Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul." Now, Wikipedia says, soul can be defined as the spirit and essence of a person. An example of your soul is that it's the part of you that makes you who you are, that will live on after your death. As an example of soul is the part of you that will go to heaven and be immortal, according to the teachings of certain religions, according to Wikipedia. Now, soul is mentioned in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, which is the one we have in the pews. It's mentioned 202 times throughout the Bible. So I created a list of some favorite scriptures to ponder about the soul, if you want to have some of them. I didn't print out all 202 of them, but I laid some out in the narthex on the table, and there's also some here on the table in Campbell Court. If you would just like to ponder with me, what is the soul, and what does the Bible say about the soul? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word nephesh is translated as soul. And in Greek, it's the word psyche, defined as the seat of feelings, desires, affections, and aversions. And psyche is also defined as breath and spirit. Rob Bell, who is one of my favorite theologians, says, "You are an exotic cocktail of dust and soul, bone and spirit." I think that's a nice way to summarize it. Dust and soul, bone and spirit. Now, this John 1 passage is unique in the Bible, not because it's a call story where Jesus is calling his first disciples. It's unique because this particular call involves a disrespectful response that transforms into deep reverence for Jesus, because he knows Nathanael's soul. Now, Nathanael initially responded to Philip's declaration with a disrespectful and skeptical reply. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But later, he regretted his derogatory comment, because soon after he meets Jesus in person and hears that Jesus already knows him, Nathanael then replies, "Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel." So why the skepticism at first? Why was Nathanael so skeptical and disrespectful of his friend Philip, which caused him to dismiss Philip's declaration that he had met the one who fulfilled the law of Moses and the prophecies? Philip was basically saying to Nathanael, "This is the Messiah, the one the Jews have been talking about ever since the days of Moses. This is who we have been waiting for the past 1,500 years." That's how long they had been talking about the Messiah. But Nathanael just dismisses the idea that the Messiah could have arrived. Think about it, just giving Nathanael a little bit of a break. What would you do if your friend came up to you and said, "Let's go and follow this guy who is definitely the second coming of Jesus"? Would you pick yourself up and go? What if Jesus appeared to look, when you got there, like a Haitian or a Kenyan? Would you still respond positively then? Nathanael first responds with distrust of his friend Philip, and he also speaks like a bully about Jesus when he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I know what it's like to be put down for where you came from. For an example, one time at a fancy dinner in George Washington's Mount Vernon home near Washington, D.C., I was sat beside a journalist for the Washington Post. During dinner, he started to ask me questions, and when it got around to, "Where are you from?" I answered, "A small town in Iowa you have probably never heard of." He gasped, like he was shocked, and he said, "You are from Iowa?" And so I asked him, "Why are you so surprised?" And he replied, "I didn't expect someone like you would be here from Iowa." So I asked him what he expected, overalls and a corncob pipe in my mouth? And that ended our conversation that night. His arrogant prejudice was appalling to me. Our First Lady in the White House has said she is using her status to combat bullying. And I would love to see her make an impact on bullying and to focus her campaign against the bullying of immigrants. It was like I was an immigrant to Washington, D.C., that people didn't expect. On behalf of my dear friends from Haiti and Kenya, I am also deeply offended and upset about the terrible disrespect of my precious, resilient friends. My friends from Haiti and Kenya are not only very upset, they are scared. And that's why I get upset. My closest friends in Kenya They both received their PhDs from Biola University in Los Angeles. And they returned to Kenya to teach and to help those in poverty there. And you know one of them. Remember Rosemary Mbogo? She preached here 2 years ago. Rosemary shared her story. Thank you. Rosemary shared her story about growing up without a father in Kenya and still succeeding thanks to her faith in Jesus. Rosemary and Stephen Mbogo both teach at the university there in Nairobi, and they manage the By Grace Orphanage with 100 children in it outside of Nairobi. Stephen is the executive director of International African Enterprise, and both are intelligent, highly respected people, both here in the US and in Kenya. So, of course, I feel protective of the family that I have created through friendship over in Kenya. And I also feel protective of the family that we have here. Our dear Nicholas, whose memorial service is at 3 p.m. today, and our church family member, Jeff, who's now studying in Miami. Jeff especially feels hurt by the comments from the White House against Haitians. And I'm sure Jeff is also scared about losing his student visa to study here. He plans to use his degree to help Haiti, but his dream may never come true now, is what he's afraid of. God calls us to be like Philip and not agree with the disparaging assumptions made about others. We must stand up, protect, and advocate for our brothers and sisters who are victims of bullying wherever they are and wherever they are from and whatever they are, however they may seem different. And we must especially stand up for them when they are publicly disrespected in such a shameful manner. In today's passage, Nathaniel quickly searched his soul and changed his mind after meeting Jesus in person. And this kind of presumption that Nathaniel had just happens too often. People tend to judge others based merely on assumptions, not on personal friendship experience. Those of us from my little town in Neola were treated like those from Nazareth. Neola is a poor little town tucked away in the country, off the beaten path, like Nazareth was in today's story. There are many negative names for places like my little town: Backwoods, Hicksville, Dead End. When we played sports in the big cities of Omaha, Nebraska, or in Des Moines, the city kids would trash talk and call us country hicks from the farm. The world is filled with unlikely places like Nazareth, where nothing much ever seems to happen, where there's no great university, not much commerce happening. We had one gas station that ended up closing after a few years. It's a place off the beaten path, like these tiny villages that you see all around the world. And it may have few people in it. It still has about 835 people. I looked up the census the other day. That's about how big it was when I was there. But the people still thrive because they are good people. And I am grateful that I have grown up in a little town because I felt people cared about me and I felt safe there. Nathaniel represents the big city attitude that prevails, it seems like, even more today. He speaks like the people sometimes that you meet in New York City or Washington, D.C. or London or even Singapore, who believe that people who come from the country's small towns are lesser than. How could anything good come from an Iowa farm town, they wonder. But our God is not a God of popularity and prestige. Jesus was not ashamed to come from Nazareth. And Philip stood by Jesus when he responded to Nathanael's prejudice by inviting him to come and see for yourself. Don't make assumptions. Come and see. And that is a good response when someone is acting prejudicial. Introduce them to an authentic example of the people they are discriminating against to help them see that their presumptions were wrong. The ambassador from Haiti, Paul Altidor, responded to last week's derogatory comments by saying, "I wish the president would meet us and see we are not what he assumes." The ambassador from Haiti to the U.S. came here as a teenager. He worked hard in school. He went to Boston College. His father was a taxi driver. Then he went on to MIT. And then he went on to the University of Paris and majored in law and economics. This guy, the son of a taxi driver who was born in Haiti. God upends human prejudice and overthrows our preconceptions with the real Jesus, someone we can all identify with as our Lord and Savior, someone who can see deep into our souls, and he forgives and loves us unconditionally anyway. Jesus was able to see deep into Nathanael's soul and invited him to come and follow, even though he was initially disrespectful. Nathanael's soul learned to trust in Christ. So think, is Jesus calling your soul this year? Maybe you are called to search your soul for the courage to protect those around you who are being bullied. You'd be surprised, people in this room right now may be victims of being bullied. What can we do to help people like Philippe, who doesn't happen to be here today, from the Ivory Coast? What can we do to help him feel safe here? You know, Kay Young and Brian Smith are usually so good about bringing Philippe here so he has a chance to be with us. That is a wonderful way of helping him feel safe and welcome. God searches our souls for the good in us and inspires us to do the same for others. One way to nurture your soul is to make new friends from people with different backgrounds so you can understand and not make presumptions about people. You all have an opportunity today. Consider coming back this afternoon for Nicholas's memorial service at 3 p.m. His family is expecting some of their Haitian friends to attend, so it'd be wonderful to mix us with them. I hope you will join in the celebration of Nicholas's life and honor him and his country with your presence today. Amen.